Blog Talk Radio.
The following broadcast is brought to you by the iGolf Sports Network. The Women of Golf Show is sponsored by the iGolf Sports Network and Golf Tips Magazine. iGolf Sports is a live stream broadcast and media production company providing quality programming designed to attract the golfing enthusiast. And Golf Tips, the game's most in-depth instruction magazine with insightful reviews on the latest equipment, tips from top teaching professionals, helping you improve your game from tee to green. Good morning. Welcome to the Women of Golf, the number one women's golf show around the world, with hosts Ted Odorico and Cindy Miller. Join them as they interview some of the best players from the Epson, LPGA and Legends Tour, and so many others helping to elevate women's golf. So without further ado, here are your hosts, Ted and Cindy.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Women of Golf Show. I'm Ted Odorico, and right alongside is none other than Legends Tour player and LPGA professional, Cindy Miller, and we are your hosts here on the Women of Golf Show. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, Ted. How are you?
I am doing very, very well. It looks like we're going to get some rain again, but other than that, I'm chipper as a robin in the springtime, or something along that line. But anyway, we got a great show. Boy, I'm starting off real bad, aren't I? We got a great show this morning. We're going to be joined momentarily by our very first special guest, Kim Kaufman. She's an LPGA Epson Tour player, and then a little bit later on, we're going to be joined by our good friend Debbie O'Connell, who's also a member of the LPGA and a golf mindset expert, in fact, one of the top in the world. She'll be joining us a little bit later on. But let me tell you a little bit about Kim, and then we'll get started. Kim has actually won three events. We were just talking about that. She's actually been on the show a few years ago. The Four Winds Invitational she won back in 2020 was her most recent event. This past week at the Atlantic Beach Classic, which was a new event for the Epson Tour, she was actually the runner-up. So she's going to tell us a little bit about that. When she's not on the course, she enjoys things like yoga and, of course, reading. Some of her favorite books include Educated by Tara Westover and The Silent Patient by Alex Michaelides, I believe is how you pronounce it. And a fun fact about Kim is if she was not a professional golfer, she would have pursued a career in law. She would be going to law school. So, Cindy, let's welcome our very special guest to start things off, Kim Kaufman.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
We're so glad you're here.
Yeah, thank you for joining us again. We were just, as I was saying, Cindy, just before we came on, we were trying to figure this out, because actually I recognized the name, but, you know, as you and I both know, we interviewed so many of these young ladies from the Epson and LPGA circuit that it's hard to keep track of the names. And I was going through the stats as I was getting ready for this morning, and I noticed that she'd won three events on Epson already. And her last one, as I mentioned, was the Four Winds Invitational. So she actually was in 2020 on our show. So I guess we should say welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. Glad you have me back. I didn't fail the first time.
Well, we'll have to make sure it's more memorable this time. This time, so you remember, and certainly for me. No, I'm only kidding. So, Cindy, do you want to start off, or do you want me to go?
You can go ahead.
All right. You've won a number of events, and this past week, as I mentioned, you were runner-up at the Atlantic Beach Classic, which was a new event. Tell us about the event overall. How did you find it? Obviously, you've been on the Epson Tour, played a lot of the courses already. This was at a new venue, I'm assuming. And tell us about the overall course conditions. How did you find it through the week? And what do you think you needed to do to have bumped yourself up into the winner's circle? What did you do, or what didn't you do, I guess would be a better way to phrase that, that caused you to be the runner-up as opposed to the winner?
Yeah, so this is a new event for us in Atlantic Beach, and honestly, I cannot say enough about it. It was, if you've ever played it, it is an absolute championship golf course. It was wonderful. It may be the best course that we've played on the Epson Tour, for sure in the top, you know, three. So we just were, as a tour, we're just so, you know, thankful and grateful for Jody, our new leader, who's just taking us to these you know, just better places, just continuing to elevate it. We had a lot of bad weather on Friday, and of course, drainage great. The greens were still running amazing, so I truly like it. We loved it. It might be the best tournament we played all year, and I'm not just saying that. You could ask any absent girl; I think they would agree. It was just a first class place. They put on a first class event, so we were all really excited about that. As far as myself, you know, it's been a long time since I've been in a final group and I've been in contention. Since I went in 20, I've really had just some tough years. I just have not played well. So it was great to be there. And I, you know, that last day and you're in the final group, you feel a little bit. You feel a little tension. You feel a little bit of nerves. And I honestly struggled with my driver, especially on the back nine. And I found myself trying to save par a little more than I was having good birdie chances. So I kind of felt like I was hanging on, trying to hang on to being, you know, maybe second or third instead of really pushing to win it, which sometimes just happens. But I did have a good putt on 18 for it. It lived out, so I had my chance, but just came up one short.
And, you know, something interesting that you just said was that, you know, you've obviously had some struggles, like all the other players do from time to time, and, you know, you have won, so you know you can do it. So it's not an issue of, well, I don't know if I can do it or not. You've won three times on the Epson. So you've definitely got it well within your game to do that. But sometimes you have stretches where everything's just not sort of firing at all cylinders. So when you get into that situation where things are not going the way that you hope they're going to do, what do you say to yourself? What's the conversation that you have in your head that you say, okay, here's what I've got to do? What happens inside between the ears, I guess is a better way to put it.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, for me, it was a stretch of almost 3 years, and there's times you just think, what am I doing? Like, why am I still doing this? But you know, I still had a desire to get up every day, and you just got to keep trying. Like, you know, you go in those 3 years, I went through so many times where I thought, I've got it, I found it, I figured it out, just to, like, you know, dig my hole even further, you know, go to a tournament and play even worse. So it's just really an unrelenting desire to keep going, because it would have been so easy just to say, you know what, I'm done. I've played LPGA a long time, and I've accomplished, I think, enough, you know, whatnot, and just hang it up and go to something else. But I just knew I'm a better player. I know I'm a better player, and that I can figure it out, but you have to keep going. I went through, you know, three or four coaches, and they just weren't right. We just weren't getting there. You have to keep pursuing it. But that takes a lot of, you know, determination, a lot of desire, but a lot of hard times where you do wonder, like, what am I doing? But these first 3 weeks here this year that we've played in Florida were, I guess, a bit validating that maybe I have started to find my way out of the darkness and into a little more light, a little more, you know, what we've been looking for, but, you know, it's a long journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you just have to kind of take the chance and step into the light, as it were. You know, what's interesting too, is what I find, and I don't think people really fully appreciate that. You know, when they hear, you know, you ladies talk about your game and they think, wow, that's great. I mean, they get to play golf all the time. That's your career. This is your job. This is not like you have a regular 9-to-5 job and you're just, well, I'm going to play on the weekends and maybe win some money. You guys put every ounce of your energy into this profession. This is your day-to-day job. And when, you know, when you have, you know, a different career path and you're having a bad day, you know, you just go home and that's kind of it. But with this, it's much different. Kind of maybe in your words, explain to people that are listening what it's really like for you guys out there, because I don't think people really, they just think, hey, hey, I wish I could play golf every day. They don't understand what goes on behind the scenes with you gals. I mean, getting ready for each event.
You're so right.
So give us an insight.
You're so right. I have people who I think literally think I'm just, like, you know, out there playing with my buddies and drinking beer like every day. I think that's their vision. And I'm like, no, it's, you know, like I said, I've spent, even in good times, there's, you know, they're hard, but like these last 3 years, you know, just, I would spend 6, 7, 8 hours out there working and working and working, but also getting nowhere. Then coming home and going, okay, I got to go back tomorrow. Like, what are we going to try? Like, what is wrong? And you're trying to stay positive. You're trying to think, this is it. I should work on this. But it is so hard. You take it home with you a bit. Even if you try to say, okay, I'm going to, you know, watch a movie and forget about it, you're not. You're thinking about it constantly because you're the person that has to go out and try to fix it. You know, you're your whole company. You're the boss. You're the employee. You're everything, really. And, I mean, you do have some people around you, hopefully, that are helping and are trying their hardest to help you. But I'm going to have to go out there and swing the golf club and get the ball in the hole. And when that's not going well, it's a lonely place. It's a difficult place. And like I say, and you just wonder sometimes, like, will I ever figure it out? So, yes, we are fortunate. And I do remind myself often, like, even on hard days, I'm fortunate to come out here, you know, to my club and do this. But I think people really underestimate how many times it is really hard.
Yeah, go ahead, Cindy.
I have to jump in because I've been there. My husband's been there. What did you find? I have to add, because I know you from the LPGA Tour, and I know that you're good, and you're really good, and so I know the ups and the downs, and I know all about changing coaches, and so talk to me about changing, and it's not that one coach is good or bad. It's there's a fit, there's not a fit. This doesn't work. Yes. I don't get this. So tell me about finding the right coach. And we have a saying in our house, you know, let your clubs do the talking. I'm not what I shoot. My husband was the number one amateur in the country, went out on tour, tried to hit it farther. You know, he was supposed to be the superstar, won one tournament, played for 15 years. Everybody's like, what's wrong with Alan Miller? You know, became an alcoholic, tried to commit suicide. So this is a big deal, right? Yes. So God bless you for being as strong as you are. So tell me why you're better now. And nice 64 when the weather was crappy, by the way.
Thank you. So I went the last 3 years through your coaches, and you're 100% right. It's not that they were – it's a bad coach or they were wrong. They were giving me good information. But I wanted to go back and swing the golf club as I did in, like, 2015, as I did my whole life. I had made some changes that I didn't think were correct. I wanted to go back to that. So every coach I went to, I said, hey, here's the blueprint. Here's the video. Like, this is what I want. They'd all say, okay. And then they'd, like, we'd, like, do something else. And I would try to, like, go with it. But and I finally hit this low point, though. I was up in Connecticut last year. I was hitting it. I mean, when you talk about not knowing where it's going, like, when I got done playing, the girl in my group said, Kim, are you okay? Like, she really was like, are you okay? Like, she was worried about me. I said, I'm okay. But it was I finally said, you know what? Here I am asking all these coaches to listen to me, but I'm not listening to myself because deep in my heart, I know everything I'm doing is not correct. And I had to finally, like, stand up for myself and say, we're done. Done with everyone. And I actually called my old college coach who had watched me play a lot of golf with an instructor, and I said, I want you to take my golf swing now and take my golf swing from 2015 just side by side on V1 and just break down what you see. And he did that, and it was just this catalyst for me to go, you know what, I'm going to do this. And my husband helped me a lot. He's pretty much my coach now, which isn't necessarily what we wanted, but he's the one person who gets it, who keeps the standard high enough, and is okay with me coming in every day for a few months saying, we're not there yet, we're not there yet, we're not there yet. And didn't balk at that. Didn't try to say, no, you are, Kim. Like, it's fine. Or, you know, it's just mental or whatever. I just finally had to, like, just kind of, like, lay down the law and say, it's not good enough. And I'm not doing what we want. I know what I want, and I really do know what I need. And I just need someone to guide me. And that person ended up, you know, really being my husband, which honestly has been great. We do work pretty well together. I say it's not what I intended, but I just couldn't find anyone else that I felt like held the standard high enough or would listen to me. It was so hard to find someone that would listen.
Wow. Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you.
It took a while. It takes a while to get there. And I think, I hate to say this, but I think even as, I think as females, we struggle. Like, I would be so loyal to that person. I so wanted to believe, and I would try. My husband would always say, you know, I listen to a podcast, and, you know, whatever PGA Tour player, would, they would just go coach to coach to coach. They had no problem just, like, you know, flying through them, and I think we're a little bit different. And so I try to tell those at times, I'm like, if it's not good, if it's not working, if you know it in your gut, move on to the next person. And that's okay. They might be great for someone else, but if it's not right for you, like, be gone. And I would just stay too long.
Oh, God bless you. Good girl. Good girl. Well, if you ever get pissed off and want to talk to somebody, call me.
Okay. I should have done. I think it's a number for you. My husband would be like, please, call her.
Oh, Lord.
So now I got to go look at your golf.
Yeah. I'll send you the timeline here.
God bless you. So anyway, what do you do for fun?
Oh, gosh. We've been so into Texas Tech, you know, football and basketball, but unfortunately made an early exit from the tournament. So we're in a bit of a lull, but we do. We love to follow tech. We go to a lot of games. Other than that, I do a lot of yoga at times. I go in stretches. I go in spurts. As I said, I'm a big reader, but nothing crazy. We don't, I don't come home and I don't have any wild, fun hobbies to talk about, but I do. I just enjoy being home, cooking, just kind of living, as we say, a normal life when you get off the road. So catching up with friends, seeing people, the
hobby go with you?
A lot of people, but really fun to us, so.
Good. Does hobby travel with you?
He does occasionally. He'll probably come out and do maybe 5 or 6 events this year.
Got it. What does he do for a living?
He teaches golf. We are all golf all the time. So he teaches here. So he's a golf instructor. It's not like he's just a random that was helping the golf swing. He's great. He's very good. He's just, working as husband and wife wasn't maybe what we wanted, but it actually has been pretty good. So it's actually been very good.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
And where's he at? What state?
He's in Fort Worth. We live in Fort Worth.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's a blessing. Take a chill pill. You're going to be great.
Okay.
All right, Ted, you can ask your questions.
All right. Well, thank you. I'm going to get my toes back in the sand here, back into the water. So what does a typical day look like for you both on and off the course? Walk us through, because a lot of people want to know this type of thing. I mean, not everybody's going to aspire to be tour players, but they want to know what goes on in a typical day for you. So talk about what happens when you're not playing golf. What do you kind of do? Do you sort of lay around, watch some Netflix, what have you, or the things that, are you an outdoors type person? What is it you like to do? And then when you're on tour, what does a typical day look like besides obviously playing on an event like you did this past week?
Yes, like when I'm home and if it's like an off day, we're going for so long, so there's usually this list of things I need to do or get done, which can vary from, I'm going to get my hair cut, to, cleaning the house or, just all the little errands, which I say sound boring, but I kind of enjoy checking things off my list. I enjoy getting my house in order and having my house clean before I leave again. And, by late afternoon, if I can sit down and watch a show or two, then I love that, but okay, and probably go to the gym. I like to go to the gym on an off day. Going to the gym the days I practice always seems like such a long day, so I'll do that as well. And then when I'm at a tournament, it's pretty standard for the week. We, Monday travel, Tuesday you're going to play practice round, which I'm getting to the point on Epsom I've played enough where I'll hopefully just do maybe 9 holes in a 3-4-hour practice. So that varies greatly on how good your practice facility is. So if the facility's not great, then I might play all 18 holes. We're always going to pro-am either Wednesday or Thursday and, tee up on Friday. So I feel when I'm on the road, the biggest thing is to try to conserve energy a bit. I mean, I'm pushing my own cart out there unless my husband comes. So I'm getting old. You get tired. So I'm feeling it. just trying to, at the end of that third week, you want to still have some energy left. So you'll be doing some dinner with friends. We always have a pro-am party or two to go to, with the tournament. But just trying to, just normal. Have dinner. I usually stay in host family. Have dinner with your host. Watch a little bit of TV, and I go to bed early. I'm an early bed, early rise. So that's my routine.
Wow. If you're getting old, I must be ancient. Because I just turned 60 a couple of weeks ago. So
we played in Salt Lake City. It was like elevation, and I thought I was going to die. I mean, we're going up this hill, and I thought this isn't going to end well. Holy cow.
Well, let me tell you, it doesn't get any easier down the road, let me tell you.
Okay. I'll add in a little cardio today to my workout.
So let me ask you something, again, I mentioned this in the bio when I was reading out. You talk now. You refer to it as a hobby, but I'm assuming that it's also maybe part of your workout a little bit. You enjoy yoga, or you certainly do yoga. How has that helped your game, if at all?
Yeah, actually, I go through big stretches. I started in like 2013. I was in Orlando. I had a great studio there, and I went though honestly. When I was in Orlando, I just graduated college and, I was trying to plan a tour and I felt like I was living with, other people trying to plan tours, surrounded by all these mini tour guys. And I just felt like my entire life was just golf, golf, golf. Like, we didn't talk about anything else. That's all we did. And I said, I got to do something a little bit different. So I just went, and it was kind of my way, just like my alone time by myself, to do something different. And I just loved it. So, yes, it's great for my golf, but it was more just great mentally just to get away and almost like find a hobby. You know, everyone says, what do you do for fun? And us golfers are like, oh, we play golf. Like, that's all we do. So that's what I did it for, and that's still kind of what I do it for. It's more of like a mental escape to go in and kind of join this group of people who are not golfers and have no idea that you're a golfer, and you're all just, you know, you're all just yogis in there trying to find, you know, a pose that doesn't hurt. So, you know, you're all just, and it's just a great workout. truly. And
well,
it's just a good mental escape.
That ain't happening
well,
for me.
yeah, me neither. Well, I think, I don't mean to step on your husband's toes as your instructor, but I think I might have figured out you're not doing enough yoga, because I look at this, I'm looking at the stats here. You said you started in 2013. You went that very year and you won the Island Resort Championship. Next year, you won the Volvic Championship, and then it was a six-year stretch before you won the Four Winds Invitational. So you're not doing enough yoga. I think that's what
okay.
it is.
I'll add that
so
to
you
my
need to
point.
You need to step up the yeah, you need to step up the yoga, because you came
I'll
right out of the gate.
It.
There you go. All kidding aside, but you know, so it's important, because I think about having balance in life. You know, one of the things, and I know I've probably beaten this point to death on the show, but you know, we've talked to a lot of young ladies like yourself on here, and many first time winners, some that have had, you know, multiple wins over the years. And I think the one resounding factor that I've noticed about all of them is there came a point in time, we touched on this earlier, you know, when things are not going right, and how do you sort of, you know, get out of that, off that, you know, poor me train. But I think you have to, in your profession, as much as you play, you have to remember to have fun. Because if you're not having fun, and it is, as I pointed out, it is a job, it is your career, but you have to have fun and enjoy what you're doing. And when you're not, it's very easy to get the poor me's. How do you...
Oh, yeah.
Cross that line for you? How do you make it fun for you so that you don't fall into that sinkhole?
Yeah, I mean, I would lying if I'd said I hadn't, you know, had a pity party every now and then, but I think generally I'm like, okay, I'm going to have my pity party, and I'm going to, about 10 minutes later, we're going to stop, and we're going to go out, we're going to keep working. But you're 100% right. Like I say, you got to be able to walk away from it for a little bit and kind of live a normal life. You can't let it all consume you. But my husband's great. Like, having people around you that also pull you out, like, say, having some non-golf friends that aren't just going to ask you, like, how's it going, or why aren't you playing well? And, you know, just that's the balance you need, too. Like, not everyone in your life can be completely surrounded by golf. So we have that here in Fort Worth a bit, which is really nice. And you're right, just – I work with a mental coach, and we talk a lot about – we always call it, like, you're in the dryer. So, like, when you're in a pity party, you're in the dryer going round and round just telling yourself how sad it is. And you can make a conscious decision to get out of the dryer. So we get out of the dryer. I know when I'm in the dryer, and then we get out. But that takes a little bit of work, a little bit of practice. But I'm very aware of it because I've worked with her for a long time. So my husband will say, you're in the dryer. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But I want to be in here for a minute, and then I'll get out.
Yeah. Just shut up and let me play.
Yep. Just let me do it for a bit, and then I'll get out of the dryer, I promise. So. You know, it's kind of like in golfing. It's like, you know, you can get angry for 5 seconds and let it go. Sometimes that's good, you know, but you got to be aware of it so you can shift back over.
I love that. I don't think I've ever heard that.
I'm
get in the dryer. Me too.
I got to do it.
Yeah.
Me too. That's a good analogy. Cindy, go ahead.
Oh, I don't know what else. I'm proud of you, though, honey. You got to keep going, especially with the second place in the 64 with crappy weather. That just shows you got grit and guts. And I am with you. I mean, Jody is he a great guy or what? They made a great hire there.
They made a wonderful hire. He's just made a great splash in so many ways, like between courses and venues and purses, but also reducing costs for us. And he did a lot of little things. Like, I don't know if you saw, he tweeted it this week, but Callaway has partnered. He watched a girl last year go into the pro shop and buy golf balls, you know, before the event. And that obviously blew him away. He'd been on the men's side for a long time. And, you know, he thought, God, we're not, you know, and we talked to him. We said, there's a lot of girls out here that are buying their own balls, buying their own gloves, which is expensive. And he said,
right.
Okay. I mean, he knew right away. He's like, I got to do something. So Callaway this year. Any girl that wants Callaway, 2 dozen balls, 3 gloves shipped to the site, which is fantastic.
Come
I mean,
on.
It's just, yeah, it's, you know, and that seems so simple, but girls don't have that. I think they had 40-some girls sign up in the first event. And so and that's, you know, it's almost a 30 or fewer who is buying their own balls and gloves. So he just has seen little things, you know, just, and but little things that, you know, maybe no one else gets. Everyone just always looks at the purse and says, oh, the purse is raising, but there's so many other things you're doing, too, to improve a tour, and he's doing all of those things, I feel.
Well, yeah. He was on our show last year when he first got the job, and I've got this little sticker still sitting on my screen here. It said, pinpoint the deficiencies. Best line I've ever heard, pinpoint the deficiencies. Spit it out, Cindy.
Yeah.
And again, that's all you got to do is, you know, just where's the little deficiencies, and let's find
yeah.
those and fix them. That's all,
yeah.
you know, tiny little
yeah.
baby things.
Baby things.
And
you know, something as simple as we used to go, the last year, you'd go to Florida and play an event in January, or the end of February. We'd go back out, we'd go out west, and then we'd go back to Florida for two. And he came in and said, why are we going to Florida twice? Why are we flying out for mm-hmm. one event? So this year, sure enough, we went out there, played 3 events in Florida. We're going to go play 4 events out west. I mean, the amount of travel you cut out and the money you save girls, it's phenomenal. Like, we all loved it.
Yeah. He's,
well, and not, let me just jump
awesome.
In real quick. Not to mention, to you know, in addition to the cost, but just the fact that how tired you are. I mean, you're going from coast
yes,
to coast yes. and then coming
the
back again.
Yes.
Exactly. That's a lot to ask. Yes. And, you know, I remember a few years back when they had, and I think you would have, but yeah, you would have been on tour at that time, but and they played 7 weeks in a row. And
yeah.
I remember we interviewed a couple of the girls, and it was like, you know, it was like pulling teeth to get them to say anything because they were so tired. They were exhausted,
yeah.
you know, from playing so many events. So they, you know, now they break it up a little bit more. You know, you play a few events and you take some breaks, and then you, you know, play another, you know, couple events or whatever. And then, you know, so there's a little bit of a breathing room, and you have to, you know, you can't be on the road the whole time. And again, it goes to, yes, this is a job. Yes, it's your profession. But at the same time, you have to have some decompression time because otherwise you just burn yourself out. And that's what was happening. So I'm glad.
Yeah,
and I think what he does, I think what he does is he pays attention to the details. You know, it's
yeah.
like you said, it's great. It's great to have the purses going up and yeah, reducing some of the, you know, expenses to get into the event. But there's the little things, gloves, balls, you know, all these other things that add up real quick
yeah.
can make or break. But so you're
yeah.
off to what event this week? Where are you now?
We're actually off this week. We're off for a couple of weeks. And then we'll head west and we'll play out in Beaumont, Tucson, the Phoenix area, and Utah. We'll do a little forward stretch out west.
Perfect. So you got a little bit of a breather, time to get the housework done and do all that
yep.
stuff. And
exactly.
And get some yoga stretches in because you were knocking on the door at Atlantic Beach, so let's get some yoga in there. I think you're going to have a win when you go out west. You got a few events to play, so you got to close one of them, and then you can come back and talk to us again and tell us how
okay.
the yoga
that's
went.
That's a deal.
We are
right.
so
Kim,
glad
thank
you
for,
came on.
Oh yeah,
thank
well,
you.
Yeah,
guys.
You've been a lot of fun. Yeah, you've been a lot of fun.
Thank
you're
you,
welcome back
you.
Anytime. All right, you have a great week. Enjoy your
hard time.
yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Kim.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Kim Kaufman. What a great young lady, full of a lot of energy and just tells it like it is. Just a lot, just like you, Cindy, just tells it like it is, right?
That's for sure.
She's a good one. All right. We're going to be joined by our special guest, Debbie O'Connell, in just a moment, but here's a quick message. We'll be right back.
The following ad is sponsored by Golf Tips Magazine.
Are you tired of being short off the tee? And what about those 3 putts? Forget about it. It's time you got serious about your game. Golf Tips, the most in-depth magazine in the industry. For over 30 years, Golf Tips has delivered expert content such as the latest golf instruction from America's top pros, simple to follow practice and game improvement drills, fitness and mental game tips, equipment, training aids, accessory and apparel reviews, golf destinations and travel tips for every budget, and so much more. Don't miss a single issue. Go to golftipsmag.com and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back, and we're excited to have our next guest. She's actually been pretty regular over the years. I think she's been on every year since we started this broadcast 11 years ago. So, in fact, sometimes I think she's even been on a couple times in the same year. So we're really excited to have her back again in 2024. Of course, I'm talking about Debbie O'Connell, one of the leading golf mindset experts in the world. She's been an LPGA professional with over 26 years of experience in women's professional golf. She's dynamic, engaging, entertaining, knowledgeable speaker, and leadership advocate. Teaches amateurs and professionals to play their best golf by focusing on their inner workings of the mind. So, Cindy, let's welcome back our good friend, Debbie O'Connell.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Cindy. Hey, Ted. It's great to be on the show. It has been a long time, Ted, because now it's like 34 years in the LPGA. We're all getting older, I guess.
All right. Well, I'll have to mend that. I have to mend my notes. So, but welcome.
I appreciate that. Well, thank you.
I got to be
on the show. This is a one. You two do an amazing job and bringing women so many parts of the game and having the tour players on and then the other components of the game. So thank you for all you do.
Well, we're honored.
That's pretty good.
And we love. Yeah, we have. I got to say something real quick before we start. So we all went, of course, the three of us, not together, but we went to the PGA merchandising show as we do every year in January. And so I was walking, and I was actually funny enough. I was looking for you, Cindy. I was trying to get connect with you about something, and it happened to be walking down. And you know when there's all of a sudden there's like a charge of electricity that's, you know, your hairs. I don't have much hair left, but it's standing up on end. And who's walking up the aisle? But Debbie O'Connell. And I thought, wow, what a presence. And, you know, we obviously talked many times on the show, but haven't really met you, I think, other than one other time in person. And you just bring so much energy, you know, even when you're walking up the aisle towards, you know, wherever it was you were heading. And I thought, and big, beautiful smile and all that kind of stuff. And I remember we stopped and talked real brief for a second. And I said, you got to come back on the show this season. And, of course, here you are. So, I just want to mention that you just have an electricity about you that's very affectious and infectious, rather. And I love you for that. So, Cindy, go ahead.
Well,
and let
Ted,
you start.
Let me just say thank you for that because that means the world. I absolutely love life. I love what I do. And I want to inspire others to have that same feeling. And just it's just natural. And then it glows on the outside. It was wonderful to meet you and bump into you. You know, things happen for a reason, right? We were down that same aisle of the, 20,000 aisles at the PGA show.
Right. Yeah.
So that was awesome.
Yeah. Cindy, go ahead.
Well, what's going on? Give us the scoop, girlfriend.
Well, I am changing mindsets so people can play their best golf. It's been amazing. The transformations I'm seeing in my clients have just been incredible. I tear up when I hear all of the wonderful results that everyone's getting because, you know, as you and your listeners know, right, there's a few components to the game. There's that technical component, and as an LPGA professional and what Cindy does as well, we teach that, right? And it's important to have a great setup and great posture and all the performance skills from the tee box all the way to putting and everything in between, right? That's a part of the game that could cause poor performance. That's why people take golf lessons, and I encourage that. We want to fix those things. But wouldn't you agree that having better mechanics doesn't always guarantee that you will shoot better scores? We've seen that, haven't we? So
right.
Yeah,
that's
they
why
talk themselves out of it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, and that's around the second issue, which is the mindset people have around golf. So that's really become my focus. And what I have found is, you know, so many of my clients, and I've experienced this as well, you know, just nervous about messing up a shot, those first tee jitters, or like hitting over water, or out of bounds left and water right, and that becomes the focus and the fear and the nerves. And what is that fear really about? It's about embarrassing themselves, right? Not belonging, not feeling good enough out on the course. And then there's the perfectionist, the one who beats themselves up after every bad shot. And they get frustrated, angry, and have lots of tension. And at that point, you could have the most perfect mechanics, But you won't play your best golf because of your mindset.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know,
so it's been fun for me to focus on that part of the game.
And everyone's got some of that and has to get over.
Let me ask.
Yeah, go ahead, Ted.
Yeah, Debbie, let me ask you a question while we're on that subject. So what percentage do you think of golfers struggle more with the mind game than the physical? Because you brought that up. You said, you know, you've got to certainly work on your ball striking skills and you've got to be able to be competent there. But a lot of people struggle with what goes on between the two ears. So what would you say if you were sort of to look at, based on your clients, of course, because that's your best tool, what would you say that the percentage of those golfers are really technically struggling more with the mind game as opposed to their physical game?
99.9. You know, when you think about it, every single shot in golf requires some kind of mental game. And if you have a strong mental game, even if your skills are a little off, I mean, we all teach this, that you mm-hmm. could choose a club that maybe isn't the best club for that shot around the greens, but if you are confident in it and you believe in it, you will hit a far better shot than if you choose the perfect club with a little bit of doubt. And mm-hmm. and that's where the difference lies. You know, you ask any professional golfer, and it's the mental game. For sure. Like I had one of my clients, her name is Teresa, and she's 75 years old. She's been playing golf for 1 year. She didn't even know what the heck my course is called Conquer Your Golf Mind. And she's like, all right, I'll sign up. She's like, I don't know if I've been playing long enough or I'll even understand this, but I'm going to give it a shot. She signs up for the course. After day one of the course, and then she also signed up for VIP, got to spend personal time with me after the original general session. The next day, she went out to play. The best score she previously had was 104. She went out and shot 90. And
wow.
She came back on day three in our call. She's like, oh, my goodness, this mindset stuff really works. My playing partners are looking at me like, what are you doing? What happened? And she's like, I don't know. I took this course, and I'm thinking differently. And so it can happen at that level. And then if you're watching the Netflix series Full Swing, it was so obvious on the third episode of season two called Mind Game, how important the mindset is for this game of golf. And there was such a contrast with Joel Damon, who is struggling and having the most popular he's ever been because of this series, and playing the worst golf in his life. And he's feeling horrible and he's frustrated. He's so negative to himself. He's like, oh, that's so bad. I am an effing idiot and I can't hit an iron anywhere near I want to. And then I can't putt when I'm up there. So all that negative talk, he is struggling so much out on the PGA Tour because of that.
Yeah, and nothing
then
like
the
having the lights.
Wyndham Clark.
Right. And nothing like having having cameras pointed on you when you're playing your worst, and especially when you're a popular player. That kind of definitely sucks for sure. So, Debbie, talk about a little bit so that people have an understanding, because you've obviously earlier in your journey struggle, just like everybody else has, with your own game. So how has that helped? What did you learn from your own game, how you handled yourself earlier on to now, that's helped you personally, but also has been able to be transferred to now your clients?
It started with all of the sports I've played. You know, I played basketball. I played basketball in college. It's March Madness. I played in the Final Four, which was really cool. And, you know, where I got into this mindset stuff was, even as a teenager, I felt like, you know, I was doing well. I certainly was a very good player, and I still felt like I wasn't reaching my full potential. Like, I knew I was better than I was performing. And there was something about that just had me striving from way back when, my late teens, saying, reading about success strategies and reading all the positive thinking books. So I dove into this early on. And then I turned to golf. And that, I think, is the most challenging mental game out there. Because you have so much time to think. and you're kind of naked out there. It's all you. You hit a great shot, it's your fault. You hit a bad shot, it's your fault. So there were so many more emotions that came up, and I literally felt like I didn't belong. I turned pro probably too soon without a lot of experience as an amateur, and then I would go onto the course, and I would think some of your listeners may feel this way, like I'm the worst one in the group, and don't embarrass yourself. I literally would go in tournaments hoping not to come in last place, and then I'd go to the scoreboard, and I'd look for the highest score, and I'd be like, and then I really struggled. Like Wyndham Clark shared in that show, like he was drinking, he was excessively, and he would lock himself in a room. Now, I didn't do the lock myself in the room, and I wasn't mean to people like he shared that he was when he was going through his negative thinking. But I would, after a round, I was playing on the mini tour, I'd have a couple of beers before I would go and call my mom, call my coach, and tell them what I shot that day. And I was very self-aware, so I was thinking, geez, I'm either going to be an alcoholic, I'm going to have to quit the game, or I have to get a lot better. I'm like, holy cow, like, what am I doing? So I kept searching for the answers, and that's why I'm incredibly passionate about teaching this part of the game, because what Charissa said after that, I talked to her again, and when she shot a 92, like weeks later after my program, and she said, Debbie, I just have to tell you, I am enjoying this game so much more. And Ted and Cindy, that's where I am. I now enjoy playing golf rather than going out with fear and doubt and frustration. And it's so amazing to have that feeling. And I play better that way. Even if I'm not practicing as much as I did when I was pursuing the tour, I play so much better because I'm more comfortable in my own skin, I'm more relaxed, I'm not worried about what people think, and it's a complete different mindset, which completely transformed my game.
You know, that's, again, such a great point because, you know, as we were alluding to earlier with our first guest, Kim, you know, we, Cindy and I, of course, have interviewed a lot of the, you know, Epson and many of the LPGA players as well over the years, and one of the things that, you know, we've heard them talk about is they've gone to a place where, you know, they just don't know whether they want to continue to play any longer. You know, they're out there and they're focusing so much on the mechanics and trying to get everything just so perfect that they stopped having fun. They stopped enjoying themselves. And what was interesting, and I know I've said this many times on the show as well, we had a group in a row. I mean, it was literally back to back each week of winners that came on the show. Every single one of them had that same sort of mindset, that negative mindset where nothing was going right. And they just sort of said, you know, the heck with this, I'm just going to go out and enjoy myself. And they won the very next week. So there's obviously a lot of truth to that. And that's why your client experienced, I think, what she did is you obviously, you know, put together a great course. And we're going to talk about that in a moment because you've got a special offer for the Women of Golf listeners a little bit later on. But that really says a lot, is changing your attitude and how you perceive things and how you feel about things. I guess, a task amateurs as well as professionals struggle with, right?
100%. It's all about perception. And then what sets my programs apart and what I do and when I'm coaching people is I figure out from where that perception is coming. So, for instance, that perfectionist who is frustrated and angry and is just putting themselves down all the time, like I think you'd agree, is a perfectionist in every part of life. And then when did they decide they had to be perfect? And that's typically, like I coached a professional one time who shared that, you know, she was struggling with the negative self-talk, and if she didn't hit it perfectly, she'd put in all this extra pressure. Golf's hard enough. And then we put pressure on ourselves to be perfect, right? So she was struggling with all that. She wasn't playing up to her full potential. And she, when we dug deeper, she said, yeah, when I was growing up, you know, I played basketball, and my dad afterwards on the car ride home, I dread it every time he'd point out every shot I missed, every bad pass, every time if I traveled or did something wrong, we would talk about it. And then we'd go and practice, and we'd only practice the things where I messed up. So the whole focus was so negative. And yeah. that then becomes your mindset when you grow up with that. You know, the parent, and it's, the parents are trying to do what they think is great. I want to help my kids, so I'm going to, everything they did wrong, I'm going to help them get better. I mean, it sounds like a great plan. And first, you have to compliment them on all the great stuff and celebrate what they've done and say, great, and there's some learning experience. You never fail. We just learned. Like, that mindset would help so many kids rather than the parent who looks at a report card with all A pluses and one A minus, and they go, what happened on the A minus? Where did you mess up? And we have to work harder in that subject because then you feel like you're not good enough. And that's what's brought right. to the golf course. So that's where I enjoyed that, because most, like, a lot of people hold on too tightly. They have to be in control. Well, is that everywhere in your life? Like, I can watch somebody swing and I'll say, oh, wow. I said, you like to be in control. Like, how'd you know? Well, because they're not letting the club swing. So that is even mental. I mean, we can tell somebody, hey, let the club do the work, relax and swing. And I've had client, you know, giving a golf lesson, they say, you know, I never understood what that meant. And then right. I talk about being able to loosen up, and their fear is being out of control, because when they were a kid, they were out of control at some point, and it was scary.
And you know, the other thing too is, Debbie, is that, and I want maybe you to clarify this a little bit. I don't want people to misunderstand. You're not saying that you ignore every bad thing that happens, because obviously you do have to deal with that, but there's a proper way to deal with it, correct? I mean, you know, you don't want to just pretend like you can't just go through life ignoring everything negative, because they have to be put in its proper place, I guess is a way of putting it. How do you deal with that? If you had, like you mentioned a moment ago, a young lady who, you know, was struggling with their game, and they were just focusing on fixing all those problem areas. How do you handle something like that when you are having some issues? How do you then attack that so that you're not dwelling on it, you're not focusing 100% on it, but you're not at the same time sweeping it under the carpet, because it does have to be dealt with in some fashion. So how would you treat that?
Well, there's a great quote that experience isn't the greatest teacher. Examined experience is the greatest teacher. And I love acronyms. I came up with an acronym for the post-golf. Process that will help people. So it's called POW, because I'm into Wonder Woman and creating confidence and having that mindset of a superhero and standing in that posture, and all of that truly helps you on the golf course. And, you know, I was laughing. There's no time to go in the dryer on the golf course. So we've got to figure out what to do on the golf course. And if you missed Kim's segment, you'll understand. Go back and listen. But so my acronym is POW. So first, the P is positives. Look back and remember all the positive shots you hit. You know, even Jack Nicklaus years ago was in an interview, and the person asked him, Jack, tell us about that double bogey you had on hole, whatever it was. And Jack said, you know, I don't really remember that much about that, but let me tell you about the eagle I had on 14 or whatever it was. So it's the positives. Because if you want, and wouldn't you all agree that more confidence is what people want, and they know if they had more confidence, every part of their game would increase. That's what's so cool for me working on mindset. I can work on mindset alone, and every part of the game gets better, which is so fun. So first, the positives. Start to build your confidence by replaying in your mind the great shots you hit, and celebrate them, because that celebration, you know, it releases these wonderful neurochemicals and creates these neuroconnections in your brain, and now you'll remember those more. The O is opportunities. So that's the examine part. I'm going to look also at the opportunities I have to improve. And it's all, like you mentioned before, Ted, the perspective you put on it. So where do I have an opportunity to improve my performance skills? Geez, let me look at my stats. Oh, wow, I had too many putts. All right, well, that's an opportunity. Let me go practice my putting or get with my pro, see if it's my mechanics. Let me do some drills where I put myself under pressure and practice that putting. It's an opportunity to improve. I mean, golf's a journey, right? So we don't have to be perfect in this round. If we learn, it's never a failure if you learn something. So that's the opportunities. The W is the question, what's next? What are the steps I'll take to improve on my opportunities and to continue to reinforce the positive and increase my confidence? So everybody, use POW, positives, opportunities, and what's next after each of your rounds, and you'll build confidence and you'll improve on other parts of your game.
I love it. That is fantastic, Gabby. Just, you know, I think we just lost Debbie. when I was trying to say something nice, she dropped off the call. We'll wait for her to call back in. But, you know, Cindy, it's so true what she says, right? I mean, you've worked with so many students over the years that just get in their own way mentally, right?
Absolutely. And I don't know that they even realize how negative they are. And again, I think it comes from, you know, a long time of being negative, and typically probably comes from their parents. And I don't know that their parents even know what they realize what they're doing to them.
They don't.
Right.
know,
they think they're doing what's best.
Like, oh, gosh, shut up. You're ruining them. Shut up. What do you say? I mean, do you teach a lot of kids? I know you do the Leadership Academy, but the parents aren't there.
Yes. Yeah. Am I on? Am I back on?
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. What do
you welcome back.
I know I got disconnected there for a second. Sorry about that. That was my bad. Leadership Academy for one. I also have a girls' golf program. So I get to start them at like 6 years old as well, and I have them working on their power pose and creating confidence. At the end of every girls' golf, I said, did anyone succeed at anything today? And they're like, yes. I said, did anyone learn anything today? They're like, yes. I'm like, let's celebrate. Everybody puts their hands in the air with their big smiles, standing up all confident, and they say, I am in the habit of achieving my goals. Yes. So, you know, it's teaching them at a young age that they can create this confidence in themselves and to look at the positives at the end of, you know, each girl's golf session or each round of golf. So I love that. I love teaching them. And then in the Leadership Academy, it's just incredibly transformational. In 2 days, we watch teenage girls change into confident young ladies just by working on mindset for 2 days. And I can't even tell. I save all these letters, and I cry every time I read one about how it shifted their life and how they've made different decisions. One gal had decided she was going to stop doing a certain workout program because kids were making fun of her, and so she stopped doing it. And kids can be brutal, right? And as a teenage girl, you know, that's where your confidence does plummet a bit unless you can learn some skills to lift it back up. And after the academy, she went back and she said, the heck with that. I'm going to, you know, train. I'm going to get back into this. And then she started to teach other girls and boys this, how she worked out. And it was just awesome. It was like CrossFit, I think she was doing. And so she created a CrossFit like academy herself and was teaching other people. You know, that's the shift, right? And people knowing that what you love and what you're passionate about is great. And believe in yourself, be authentic, and be yourself, live your life, and then and ignore what other people think. No, have the confidence you're good enough.
Yeah.
We talk about parents too in that, and we explain, look, your parents are doing the best they can, and they want the best for you. And, you know, we'll talk to some of the girls, and what happens is when their parents are pushing them to be perfect and all that, and they feel like they're letting their parents down, they literally feel unloved and not good enough. And when you have that, all of a sudden that's your own belief. You know, Wyndham Clark in that show said, I had trained my mind over years of belittling myself negatively. And he would say things like, I stink, I suck. And it was obviously not serving him. And then he started working with a sports psychologist, and Julie Elion, I believe her name is. And what Julie said was the mental coaching has truly taken off over the last 4-5 years. You know, there's more people realizing that the mental part of the game is the key. And he was resistant at first. He was absolutely resistant. And he decided then to go ahead and do this. And 6 months later, he won his first tour event, and 2 weeks after that, he won his first major. And he handled that pressure so well. And what Julie said is we prepared for that because he had a horrible hole. If you remember coming down the stretch, he hit it in deep, deep rough, tried to get out. It stayed in, hit it out again. It went over the green, you know, and he made, I think, a double coming down the stretch. But he said, you know, what I learned and what I trained, I was ready for that situation because of the work he did with his sports psychologist and mental coach. So it's truly the key to success, I believe, in life, I believe, too, but certainly in golf.
Yeah.
Well, it definitely crosses over for sure. And I think, you know, just to bail the parents out a little bit, I think a lot of parents are well-intended. I think that they mean well. You know, they believe in hard work, and there's nothing wrong with hard work. But I think they just press their kids too hard, especially at a very early age. And, you know, when you're not at reinforcing with positive talk and it's always negative, it's no wonder that you see a lot of kids dropping out of sports and things like that because they just say to themselves, I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to measure up. And, you know, and who knows, that could have been the next Jack Nicklaus or Nancy Lopez or somebody else. But they just never pursued it because they just didn't feel like they were ever going to measure up to the expectations. And I think as a child, you know, we look at our parents as our cheerleader. And when we don't feel like they're really in our corner, we're always being, you know, in sort of a skeptical mindset or a high pressure situation. It's like taking the wind out of the sails. So I wanted to give a few minutes, Debbie, for you as we get ready to wrap up. You had a special offer that you'd like to extend to the Women of Golf listeners. So the floor is yours.
Yes, I would love to invite all of you who have that frustration, the doubt, you know you're not playing up to your potential, and you want to enjoy the game even more, you know, for amateurs all the way to professionals, every level, people are invited to this. And what it's called, Conquer Your Golf Mind. In 5 days, you will shatter the mental obstacles that are stopping you from playing your best golf right now. What you can do is text YES to this phone number. And you're saying yes to yourself, yes to your game. And the phone number is 727-339-0106. 727-339-0106. Text yes to that number, and you'll get the link to the landing page. Click on that. And when you're checking out, so here's what's great. And I remember I shared this with Cindy. She's like, wait a minute, you're going to coach them for 5 days for 90 minutes and they get their own personal coach and this is all mindset and you're doing it for that price? People are going to think it's not expensive enough. So it's $1,000 value and I have it on special for $97. And then my staff, they think I'm crazy. I said, you know what, I'm going to give a special and give them $50 off of that. And they're like, are you nuts? It's already ridiculously low. And I was like, I want to share this with people and help. I want more conversations like I have with Teresa and then a lady, BJ, yesterday who said, Debbie, I'm enjoying the game so much more, and I almost had a hole-in-one yesterday. So what you'll do is look for a place that says put in coupon code and put in CONQUER50. So for $47, you know, a smidgen of the price of one golf lesson, you can improve every part of your game. And here's the other thing, I guarantee it. If you don't improve, I'll give you your money back.
Wow. Doesn't get any better than that. So just to let the listeners again, Debbie's special offer, it's the 5-day Conquer Your Golf Mind Challenge, valued at $1,000 for just $97. But if you text YES to 727-339-0106, that's 727-339-0106, you'll receive a link. Click on that link, follow through, and when it comes time to check out, you can put in the coupon or promo code CONQUER50 to get $50 off. So just for $47, you can get the 5-day Conquer Your Mind Golf Challenge.
Now because you get a personal coach and they're running out of time on their calendars. So do that now. And it is a limited time offer. So everybody jump on this. I want to meet all of you and help you with your game.
We appreciate it. Thank you very, very much, Debbie, for always, you know, lifting our spirits when you come on the show, and you definitely bring a great energy, and we'd love what you do, and you're always welcome back anytime you want, and we'll keep pushing this challenge and getting the folks out there. I'm going to actually put it up on, if it's okay, can I put it up on social media?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We'd love we'd love to help as many golfers as possible. I'll do my best to get a few more coaches.
All right.
So bring it on.
Thank you.
But
all right.
It may sell out, so get it out there quickly. But Ted. Thank you, Cindy. What you're doing is amazing, and I love the show, and all of your guests are just terrific, and you bring out the best in your guests, so I deeply appreciate that as well.
Thank you, Ted. Very much, Debbie. You have a – all right. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Golf mindset expert Debbie O'Connell joining us this morning here on the Women of Golf. Thanks again to Kim Kaufman for joining us a little bit earlier, and good luck in the rest of your events this season, and especially enjoy your time off with your husband and just get out there and do what you do best. All right. On that note, I'm Ted Oderico, and Cindy Miller and I, we want to thank you for joining us this morning here on the Women of Golf show. Again, special thanks to our guests, and we'll see you next week with another interesting show. We'll hope you tune in. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed listening to this week's Women of Golf show. Ted and Cindy wish to thank this week's special guests. Remember to join them every Tuesday from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on the iGolf Sports Network or on any of these social media platforms, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, Talk Stream Live, and of course Spotify. To get updates on the show, you can follow the Women of Golf's Facebook page at www.facebook.com/womenofgolf. This has been a production of the iGolf Sports Network.